The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
But I felt it was very important for you as parents to come to the ball game and support your child, your teenager playing, and thank you for doing that. But there was about 24 that drove over to be in the meeting there, and I looked up, and or I came in the back, and boy, they were just turning around smiling at me real big, and I said, oh, I know you from somewhere, don't I? And but thank you for those that were able to come over and support the meeting. Appreciate that. You know, on Monday night, I preached, and I was the closing speaker on Monday night. I was coming back. Now, I've never seen this many accidents before, ever. I left the church, I guess at about 9:45 or 10 o'clock, and I passed six accidents on the way home. One of them was on my side. I didn't cause it, but it was on my side, and I got over as far as I could. And everybody else, I don't know why they weren't doing the same thing, but I was able to scoot by them pretty quick, I thought. And then I came across another one that slowed me down, but I was able to get home. I think it was 10:30 or 11 o'clock or something like that. It was late when I got home, and it's only supposed to be an hour drive, but the rain was horrible. And then there are certain places where you take your vehicle through a puddle that's about 9 foot deep, and it submerges you, you know, and you feel like you're driving a submarine or something. But you know, thank you so much for those that prayed for that meeting. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. May I encourage you, please, if you have a child that is not old, the word old, Dr. Bill Rice, Dr. Bill that died back in 1976, he said this, that word old has a good definition whereby it means mature. So if I can encourage you, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old or when he's mature, he'll not depart from it. We have people that get so discouraged because they have children that have departed from the practice of faith. And they just don't know what to do. Boy, they just wring their hands and they shed tears and they just are beside themselves not knowing what to do. If you look at this in the frame of the mind that it's a state of maturity, they might not have come to their maturity yet. I know Dallas Drivers that I think hasn't come to their maturity yet. And so they might be kind of not there yet. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't walk away and say, well, it must be over. There's three age groups that I'm going to deal with over the next 3 weeks. Tonight, we're going to deal with rearing children, child rearing principles, if you will, ages 0 to 9. 0 to 9. Now, these are principles, as I said a moment ago. These are not all-inclusive principles. There might be more principles that you have than I have right here in your personal child rearing endeavors. There might be less principles that you have in your child rearing endeavors. Now, my hat is off to you, but we always ought to be open to that which is Bible principles when it comes to doing our best and living for God and helping our families to live for God. So what we're going to do is we're going to examine some principles tonight that we had in our household. Three age groups we'll deal with, age 0 to 9, and that's what we'll be dealing with tonight. And then there's 10 to 12, and then there's 13 to marriage. Now, here's some words that will probably fit within those age brackets, and that is age 0 to 9, you train your children. You train your children. Ages 10 to 12, you retrain your children. Then ages 13 to marriage, you restrain your children. If you'll note in the Bible, there's no word such as the word teenager. You'll never find the word teenager in the Bible. When God says to train up a child, what is that word train? It's a very difficult word. It simply means this. In the English, train means train. When it comes to the Hebrew word, it means this. It means to narrow. So a parent's responsibility for their children is to narrow their path. That's the parent's responsibility according to the Bible. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, the Bible says we're supposed to take it very seriously when it comes to training those children. You see children, I know that I preached a missions conference many years ago down in Mississippi, and the missionaries' kids were running everywhere, just running everywhere, getting into everything. And the pastor came to me and said, what do you think? Should I take him on? I said, I wouldn't take him on. If he can't maintain his own children, they're running wild inside the church, that means there's probably problems in the home. And so it's very, very important that we train our children. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, the Bible talks how Timothy was taught the scriptures from a young age. Probably the most vital, crucial time or period in training children is ages 0 to 9. Don't think now, however, if your children are older than that there's no hope. There is always hope. You say, well, my child's always getting in trouble. There's always hope. As long as there's prayer and as long as God answers prayer, there is always hope. Now, let me share some principles. Statement number one, teach immediate obedience. Teach them to obey immediately. So teach immediate obedience. You'll find the story of Samuel, and you'll find that Samuel was there, and you'll see that he's in the house, if you would please, whereby Eli, the great prophet of God at that time, was in the other room, and he called out to him. And what did Samuel do? Immediately, he rose up, and he ran into immediately the voice of authority. So train your children to obey authority immediately. Train your child to obey commandments immediately. Okay, what do you do if they don't do that? Well, you punish them for disobedience immediately, and you reward them for obedience immediately. If you wait 3 hours for a child, I'm talking about a child, we're talking about ages 0 to 9, if you wait 3 hours to punish your child or to reward your child, they have totally forgotten what they have done. Their minds are changing so rapidly, they're going different directions, they won't remember it very long. So teach immediate obedience. You could even reward them by saying, that's a good boy, or that's daddy's boy. Oh, you're doing so good. But reward them or discipline them. Statement number next. Surround them with good books, good music, and good examples. Surround them with good books, good music, and good examples. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 talks about the same thing, where it mentions the words psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the way, there is a direct connection, if you will, with godly music and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There is. There's a direct connection with the proper type of scriptural melody, if you would please, without the syncopated beat that connects with that which is Holy Spirit power. Now, you'll not find that connection with Christian rock music. You will find a connection with ungodly things, but you'll not find it with God's way of doing things. All right? So teach them that immediate obedience is good. Surround them with good books and music and examples. Statement number next. Associate wrong with pain and disapproval. associate wrong with pain and disapproval. You know, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, it does speak of the rod and reproof. Now, wait a minute. The rod means pain. The reproof means teaching. So every time that you use the rod, it should also be accompanied by teaching. Don't ever discipline somebody and not teach them. When we spanked our children when they were younger, and we were rearing our children the best we could for the Lord, I didn't use my hand, I used a paddle. I would send them into our bedroom. I did not want them to walk into the kitchen, and every time they were in the kitchen, it reminded them of pain. I didn't want them to go to the playroom, and every time they went to the playroom, it reminded them of pain. I didn't want them to go to the living room, and every time they'd be in the living room, remind them of pain. No. Our bedroom was always sacred. The children could not go in our bedroom. It was a sacred place for Sylvia and I, and they could not enter into the bedroom. That was a sacred place for us, and so we sent them to the bedroom because they would not continually be visiting a place that would remind them of pain. All right? So associate wrong with pain and disapproval. When we spanked our children, we used a paddle, we gave them hugs, we prayed with them, and they would ask God to forgive them, they would ask their parents to forgive them, we would pray with them. At the end, we would give hugs and kisses and say, we believe that God can help you not to do this again. Statement number one, so teach immediate obedience. Statement number two, surround them with good books, good music, and examples. Statement number three, associate wrong with pain and disapproval. Statement number four, associate work with eating. Associate work with eating. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 10, the Bible says, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now that's a Bible principle. So associate that which is work with eating. Remember, the end result is to build character in your child's life. So the principle is, by the way, everybody, I can tell you how to help people that live on the streets. Can I tell you? If they get hungry enough, they're going to work. It always surprises me, a man standing outside begging for food, and there's a McDonald's sign that says, now hiring, right behind him. That just blows my brain. All right? Now, and so eating should be a motivator. Son, when you get done cleaning the room, put away all your toys, lunch will be ready for you. When you get done cleaning up the bedroom and put away all the stuff that you took out, supper's waiting. Now, don't be late. We're eating at 5 o'clock. Get it done. Use motivation of eating. Associate work with eating. And by the way, that teaches them a good principle of not trying to get handouts when they become older. If you teach them they're supposed to work in order to eat, then they're going to get used to working in order to be able to provide for themselves and for their loved ones. Statement number next, make your home a happy home. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So make it cheerful. You know, the merry heart, that's talking about your outlook on life. Don't walk around always in the dumps. Woe is me. Sucking your thumb. Well, God died, you know. He's still not around. No, don't do that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15, the Bible says, it says, that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. So when you're around somebody that has a merry heart, you kind of want to be around them because it's almost like it's a continual feast. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So when you get around somebody, they're happy, they're jolly, they're on top side, you know what that does? It helps you, it doctors you in your spirit. So you teach immediate obedience. Surround them with good books, good music, and good examples. Associate wrong with pain and disapproval. Associate work with eating. Make your home a happy home. Statement number next. Point out sin and get them to react. Point out sin and get them to react. Book of Romans chapter 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin. In other words, he revealed sin, stay with it now, as sin. It wasn't something, oh, well, that's okay. It wasn't something, well, you know, he's just growing up. No, no, no. Sin was revealed as sin. The Bible says, working death in me, by which is good. It says that sin by the commandment might become, watch these words, exceeding sinful. So he just didn't look at sin and say that sin. He made sin look exceeding sinful. It's not just bad to take a puff on a cigarette. It's really bad. You make it look worse, if you will, exceeding. You're going beyond, and you're trying to help somebody not to develop the bad habit. One of the jobs of a pastor, by the way, is to make sin look exceeding sinful. Please don't get mad at the preacher when the preacher gets up and he points out sin. He's doing what God has called him to do. Amen. So don't get upset all of a sudden when he steps on your toes, sits in your lap, and spits in your right eyeball. It's okay. By the way, if he doesn't do that, he's not doing his job. If a preacher doesn't preach on sin, it's time for you to get yourself another preacher. Amen. All right? Now, so we understand this. Parents also are supposed to make sin look exceeding sinful. Statement number next. Start and end the day with prayer and Bible reading. Start and end the day with prayer and Bible reading. Let your kids see that the Bible is important inside of the home. Let them see that. They're only going to copy what they see. So let them see that. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I can't read very well. There's a fellow years ago read through the Bible. I think he did an okay job. His name was Alexander Scorby. Some of you probably heard about him. There's another fellow. I can't remember his last name. First name is Tom. That's all I remember. But they read through the Bible. Now, Alexander Scorby, he has an English type of, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, he sounds like an Englishman. The other fellow sounds like an American. But now, can I tell you, watch this. If you can't read through the Bible because you're stumbling over words and stuff like that, here's what you could do. You could sit down sometime during the day, listen to Alexander Scorby read it, learn how to pronounce the words, and then you read it at night. Or you could get Alexander to come into your home. If you invite him, I'm sure he'll come. And press play, and then you all sit around and listen to him read the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. But it's better to get it in. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So the more that you get the Bible in, the better your young person is going to be, especially during these early years. So start and end the day with prayer and Bible reading. Statement number next. Realize that repetition is the key to learning. Realize that repetition is the key to learning. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Over in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 13, the Bible says, the word of the Lord was, it says, unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken, and it says snared. Listen to it now, and it says, and taken. All right, so God says, now wait a minute, it is good to lay it out, precept, precept, line, line. In other words, it's good to put it out there where they can understand it, okay? So do it over and over and over again. Okay, I know this as a preacher. Sometimes when I preach something once, somebody gets it. But sometimes it may take 50 times. When I give an invitation on Sunday morning, you're in here, some of you. When I give an invitation on Sunday morning, what I've got to do is I have to, okay, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you need Christ as your Savior this morning, raise your hand. Now you hear what I do. If you're here this morning and you don't know you're going to go to heaven, you've got doubts and reservations about that, we're here to help you this morning, raise your hand. If you're here this morning and you're trusting baptism, good works, or the seven sacraments, or the Ten Commandments, that's not going to take you to heaven. Only Jesus will. If you want to hear about Jesus, let us get a counselor and show you how to be saved. Raise your hand. I'll repeat it three or four times differently so the people hear it, connect with it, because sometimes it takes a person long time to kind of click in. You know what I'm saying? All right, and so statement number next. Realize that repetition is the key to learning, I said. Statement number next, never miss church. You say, I'm tired. You were tired when you went to work this morning. You were tired when you got off. You'd go home, watch TV tired. Why can't you come to church tired? I mean, I think it's a lame brain excuse of Christians that don't have character enough to come to church. If you love God, show it. Come to church. Oh, I'll just stay home and watch. All of a sudden, all these live stream things start cutting off right about now. Oh, I'll just stay home and watch the live stream. No, come to church. Don't use live stream as a replacement of church. Amen. Nobody's going to stick their hand through the screen, shake your hand. You're not getting fellowship. You're not hearing what you should hear because you're distracted by things around the living room. Don't do that. We're not going to put a refrigerator back there where you can get up and get yourself a can of pop and then go drink it and then come back and sit down. We're not going to do that. Okay, here we go. That went over like a good thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says, and let us consider one another and provoke unto, it says, love and to good works. Then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I hear churches that's here in the metro, and I'm really ashamed of them. They don't have church on Sunday night. They've done away with it. Oh man, our nation is already in a fix. You don't need less of the Bible. You need more of the Bible. Amen. You know, I think a preacher that doesn't have church on Sunday night maybe ought to look for a different vocation. You know, it's good for young people to have, well, you know, they don't want to come. The Bible's going to straighten them out more than some humanistic type of philosophy. Amen. And God can straighten people out, you know. Amen. Look what he's done for you. Look what he's done for me. Amen. Now, I'm saying this. Never miss church. Well, you just don't understand how hard it is. Oh, yes, I've got a life. I stay busy a little bit. Now, can I say, but if I can make it and prepare for it, then you can make it and come listen to it. All right, statement number next. Take them soul winning so that they can see how the devil treats his own. Take them soul winning so they can see how the devil treats his own. They don't have to try to taste drugs or take drugs to find out the end result. If they go soul winning, when our kids were just little, we're talking about 0 to 9, when our kids were little, we'd take them soul winning, and there'd be an old drunk that would answer the door, and I'd say to my little kid, aren't you glad that daddy don't drink? Amen. That's the end result of sin right there. Don't you ever forget it. Some drug head would answer the door, and I'd say, now look, aren't you glad daddy doesn't do drugs? Amen. Right. We'd walk up to a house, and a man would be hollering at his wife and screaming curse words and stuff like that, and I'd say, aren't you glad that daddy's saved and God cleaned daddy's mouth up? Amen. I've never cursed at my wife. Aren't you glad I don't do that? That's all because of the grace of God. And I'd point them, I would use that over and over and over and over and over and over again. What was I doing? I was drilling inside of their heads how the devil treats his own. John chapter 17, verse 15, the Bible says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. John chapter 17, verse 16, they are not of the world, Jesus is speaking here, even as I am not of the world. All right? So you can see the world, but you don't have to be in the world practicing what the world practices in order to be able to see that it's wrong. I'd rather see somebody else get cancer because of smoking than me smoke and get it myself. I'd rather see somebody else get a corroded liver because of their drinking liquor than for me to get it myself. No, thank you. I don't want anything to do with it. All right. Statement number next. Put pants on the boys and dresses on the girls. Put pants on the boys and dresses on the girls. You know, we are living in such a unisex society, somebody's got to show there's a difference. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says, the attire of a harlot, you are known by how you dress. Right. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to please God. Well, if you're going to please God, do it right. Amen. Do it. Oh, come on. Some of you men back me up, would you? Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, the Bible says, the bride, it says, and then it says, her attire. She was known as a bride by her attire. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and in verse 5, the Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth. The word pertaineth is a little simple word. It simply means to take a step in the direction of. All right, here's what it says. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Amen. Now, if you're a man, you ought to say amen there. Amen. I don't want to see any of you fellas walking around in a dress. That would really turn me the other direction. The Bible says here, it says, put on a woman's garment, for all that do so, listen to it now, are abomination unto the Lord thy God. God has that inside of him that says, I don't just dislike that, I abhor that. By the way, that same word abomination you'll find in the book of Leviticus chapter 18, when a man lies with a man. When a woman lies with a woman. Now for those of you that are shouting amen and glory to God, hallelujah, and chicken drumsticks, let me say this. It's also talking about when you have a false balance, that's an abomination. It also talks about a lying tongue. That's an abomination. Now, I'm saying this. God uses that word abomination. Now, you say, oh, but you don't understand, preacher. That was the Levitical law. God never changed his mind about anything that was a moral law. Amen. I hear people trying to explain it away all the time. Well, that's in Leviticus. That was a part of the Levitical law. Well, first off, let me say this. If it's moral, God always keeps it the same. Right. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, in like manner also that a woman adorn, women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That little word apparel there comes from a little Greek word, it's called kachistole. And for those of you that are Bible students, you already know this. Kachistole means a long flowing or draping garment. That's what it's talking about. All right, it says with shamefacedness and sobriety, it says not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. All right, so he says that a woman's garment ought to be something that is a flowing, ought to be something that is a draping garment. Now, don't you get mad at me, but that you just marked out shorts. You just knocked out britches on women. You just did. It's gone now. By the way, breeches is only mentioned three times in your Old Testament. It's called breeches, and it was only mentioned in correlation with a man. It was never mentioned in correlation with a woman. Not one time. All right. And all right, here's what it says over in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 1. By the way, if you loved me up until this time, still love me. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 1. It says, come down. It says, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There's no throne. Listen to it, O daughter of the Chaldees, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Well, why is there no more the words used to describe the daughter, if you would, as tender and delicate? What took that away? The Bible says in verse 2, take the millstones and the grind mills and unlock the locks. Bare the leg, it says, and uncover the thigh. watch what it says here, and pass over the rivers. Now, okay, so not called tender and delicate. Why? Because the leg is bared and the thigh is uncovered. And then it says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. So when a woman bares her thigh, she shows her nakedness.
Amen.
That's what your Bible just said. So that's not the interpretation I got, then you got the wrong interpretation.
Amen.
The Bible says, yea, it says, thy shame shall be seen, I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. All right? Keep the boys out of the long shirts at night that don't get them in the habit of stuff like that. Put blue jeans on those boys, you know? Get their hair cut like a man and teach them manly things. Teach the girl feminine things.
Amen.
You don't want your boy to marry a girl and all of a sudden she comes in at night and wants to wrestle him and can beat him every time. You don't want that. You want her to be feminine. You want her to be fit. You say, preacher, why is it that a lot of the ladies wear dresses in the church? Well, it might be because they know their Bible.
Amen.
Or it might be because they just feel like that it's just the right thing to do. Oh, come on now. This was written long before I became your pastor.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible teaches. So that word apparel is talking about long, flowing, or veiling garment. Abomination. I'm telling you now, that's a moral law. That's for everybody. By the way, murder stays the same.
Amen.
It's wrong in the Old Testament, still wrong in the New Testament.
Right.
Okay, so here's what we understand. We understand that it is good to take your children soul winning so that they can see how the devil treats his own. You can understand this, that we ought to put pants on the boys and dresses on the girls. And by the way, girls, let me help you out a little bit. Don't wear your outfit so snug that everybody knows who you are. You know, if you're not up for sale, take the for sale sign down.
Amen.
Statement number next. Put masculine clothes on the boys and feminine clothes and jewelry on the girls. Dress your girls feminine, you know, and let them start wearing some jewelry and stuff. We got this thing in fundamentalism that people, they want to dress modest. And by the way, you ought to be more concerned about dressing modest and pleasing God than you are dressing modest in front of a man. We're supposed to please the Lord.
Amen.
Has nothing to do what man thinks about it. The first objective is to be modest before the Lord. Please God. All right, now wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Be careful that you don't train your boys at an early age to be feminine. And be careful that you do not train your girls at an early age to be masculine. Be careful about that. Oh, you say you're old-fashioned. Well, the Bible's older than I am.
Amen.
And if we identify with the Bible, it might be that we do act a little bit more peculiar. But I like who I'm identifying with.
Amen. Come on.
I'd rather identify with right than wrong. I'd rather be too far right than too far left.
Amen.
Now, I never comment on anything. People, I'll say something like on Twitter, and I get attacked all the time. People attack. You got attacked today. God bless you. Welcome to the crowd. And but I'll make strong statements and whatnot. And I try to do it to help preachers is what I try and do. You know, to try and guide them. And I get people all the time. You know, they'll bash me on this and bash me on that. And I never. But there was I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself. It's the first time I've ever done it in my life. I'll probably never do it again, but it was just so fun. But on this Instagram thing, there was these people when Judge Kavanaugh was sworn in. They were outside the courthouse, and they were just banging on the doors of the courthouse and scratching the courthouse. And I just put a little comment on there. I said, I heard they had mental institutions for such people like this. You'd be surprised how people were so unkind to me. And that was just a little statement. I mean, I wasn't naming names. I was just trying to help them. Well, they needed help. Put masculine clothes on the boys and feminine clothes on. You know, we have this thing, and I'm telling you, they can pass a law tomorrow that says that these bathrooms out here have to be unisex, and I'll never do it.
Amen.
There's going to be a boys' room. There's going to be a girls' room.
Amen.
That's all it is to it. If you go into a store where they've got a co-ed bathroom, don't take your kid in there.
Amen.
They're going to see things that God never intended for them to see.
Amen.
You protect them.
Amen.
You watch over them. You've got a God-given responsibility to protect your family.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
And don't, you know, these guys are dressing more feminine all the time.
Oh.
You know, and they're walking around, you know, and they got this little, they walk like this. That makes God sick, and I'm on his side.
Amen.
You know, teach them how to walk. Teach them how to talk. Teach them, you know, they run like a little girl with their limp wrist. Oh, forget it.
Come on.
It's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And by the way, if you don't train your kid, who's going to?
Amen, sir.
Who is going to? You know, I'm not for boys that wear things that they ought not to be wearing and acting like they ought not to be acting. I'd rather a boy be too masculine and got some grit about him than somebody's going to be too feminine. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. It says, with shamefacedness. The Bible says, in sobriety. It says, not with broided hair. Now watch this. It's talking to the woman here, and it's talking about somebody that is appearing before the Lord, and if you would please, having a good testimony. And it talks about, and this is talking about in excess of the gold and the pearls and the costly array. You know, be careful that you don't put so much makeup on that they can't see that you're there. Or so much jewelry that they've lost you. Okay, let God shine through. Statement number next, here it is. I'm almost done. And play rough with the boys and gentle with the girls.
Amen.
Play rough with those boys. You know, we got those play boxing gloves, and we'd box. I'd get on my knees, and the boys would come after me, and I'd try and be tender with them a little bit. I didn't want to knock their head off or nothing. But you know, we'd box a little bit, and we'd play rough. We'd wrestle. Then when they became teenagers, these boys remember this. I walked in. You remember this, Sylvia? I walked into it was a trailer, right? I think we're staying in a trailer. I was preaching off somewhere, and these three boys collaborated together. Because, see, we'd wrestle all the time. And I'd just go in, and we didn't have a certain time. I'd just go in and pick them up and throw them on the bed, you know, and then I'd wrestle with them, and we'd get on the floor, and we'd just have a really good time, you know. But it was nothing planned. It was all spontaneous. And so they thought they would be spontaneous. Now they're teenagers. And so they thought, we're going to collaborate. We're taking Dad out. Now I just got done preaching. I walk in the door, and all three of them tackle me. All three of them tackle me. They take me down, and I'm just trying to get up. And, man, I'm trying to get up so hard, I get the breath knocked out of me, and I'm getting up like, and then they thought they killed me. All right? So, but I'm saying play rough with the boys. Play rough with the boys. Be gentle with the girls. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise it says, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Understand who you're dealing with. How do I understand that, preacher? You have a Bible. Okay, giving honor unto the wife who is the weaker vessel. Buy the girls some dolls to play with. Get the boys some boxing gloves. Teach the boys to protect your dear wife, their mother. Okay, statement number next. I'm almost done. Here it is. Stop all loudness in the home. Stop all loudness in the home. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, but let the hidden man of the heart says, in that which it says is not corruptible, even the ordinance of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. All right? So teach quietness in the home. Quietness in the home. When we were coming up, I never had to, well, no, I did. but seldom times that I ever had to raise my voice at the boys or with my dear daughter. It would be like this. And they know it's time to be quiet. If I was communicating with somebody and they came up and tried to interrupt, I'd just look at them and go like this. I didn't have to say nothing. They know I better not interrupt them. I get their attention. And sometimes I do this. Psst. They'd be across the room. They'd hear that. Psst. Or yeah, sometimes they'd be across the room and they'd be being noisy. Here was a signal. You remember that? That means you're being too noisy in the house. You better be quiet.
Amen.
Or you're putting your nose in your brother's business too much and you're disturbing. Be quiet. Be quiet. No, I wasn't picking my nose. I was going like this. Be quiet. Oh, okay. Statement number next. Okay. Never let the television babysit your children.
Amen. Come on.
Never let the television babysit your children. Listen to me. Even the cartoons that they put out today is not good for your children.
Amen.
It teaches homosexuality. It teaches disrespect for parents. And be careful about some of this stuff. Okay. See, here's the deal. You're training them to listen to rock music by some of the cartoons you're letting them watch. Because it's babysitting them, and all you're just training them. And then all of a sudden, you expect the preacher to get them right. All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves. It says, for they watch for your souls. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. The Bible says, for they watch for your souls. It says that they may give an account, that it may, listen to it now, that they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Listen to it now, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, the Bible teaches this, to whom much is given, much is required. Is it not true? Is it not true? And so the more that we hear Bible truth, the more God says, okay, now I expect you to rise up and do Bible truth. Okay? You said, but you understand, the world is different than it was 36 years ago, 30, 70 years ago when you first started preaching. Oh, I know that, but the Bible hadn't changed. I'm not going to change because the world changes. I'm going to stay the way I should stay because the Bible doesn't change.
Amen.
I'm going to do what's right according to the Bible. I'm going to let the Bible be my standard. The Bible be my rule. The Bible be my direction. The Bible be my pattern in which to follow. Doesn't matter to me if the world changes or not.
Amen.
They pass a law and they say you can't pray. I'm going to be like old Daniel. I'm going to go out just like I always do and pray. Well, you can't read your Bible. I'd still read the Bible. Well, some of you kids go to the public school. Well, we don't want you to bring a Bible to the public school. Oh, I'd take it anyway.
Amen.
You say, well, what if they kick you out? Well, then we'll get you educated somewhere else. It's a sorry shame that in our day the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's a sorry shame. It's a shame when we say, well, you know, it's a shame for preachers. And so I can't preach that or I can't teach that because somebody's going to get mad. They're going to get mad anyway.
Amen.
You might as well tell them what the Bible says and let them take it up with God.
Amen.
He wrote it. My job's just to deliver it. I didn't write the thing. I just deliver it.
Amen.
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 So make sure that you put some principles in your life that will help you when it comes to rearing children.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.